Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2. This is the Blaze the Lion podcast. I am your host, Blaze. Blaze the Lion, Blaze Goldsmith, Blaze. Yeah, Blaze in the mix and all these other things. We are, well, first off, if you are watching right now, like right now, we are live on iSquad TV on Facebook and on the Blaze the Lion podcast channel on YouTube. So make sure you hit that like button, all right? Even if you're bored already, just do it anyway, just because you like me, all right? And make sure you subscribe to the channel, all right? Easy things. All right. For the whole month of May, for the entire month of May, we've been focusing on mental health. I apologize for last week that there was no podcast. It's a long story, but we are here now. Indeed. This is also the season finale. Season 3 finale, which means I'm taking a break. You won't see me this summer.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm taking a break. I'm going to travel to Europe.
Ooh.
I'm going to visit Antarctica. I'm going to race some lions. I'm just making this up as I go. But in any case, I will be missing a little bit for various reasons. But we're taking a break for the summer. And then we'll come back in fall for season 4. So season finale. And it's panel time. Woo! So it's not just me. It's not just me and one of my guests. No, we got a panel of different people who are just as unfiltered as me. Maybe more. A bunch of people who are prettier than me, depending on your views. And I'm excited because it's not just mental health, but it's mental health in fitness. Mm-hmm. So I know I kind of got your wheels turning a little bit like, where is this going to go? Where exactly is he going with all of this? Well, be patient, damn it. You got to pay some bills. So this episode right here, this will be episode 70. Somebody help me out in the chat. 75. Jeez, somebody who's watching, who watches all the time, let me know. I feel terrible. I think this is episode 75. And I want to say a big shout out to our sponsor, Star Child Social. Are you looking for branding? Do you have a company? Do you have an idea? And if so, are you trying to push it forward? Maybe you need website design. Maybe you need help with your social media or advertising, marketing, in a digital space. Thank you, episode 75. See how they come through? Well, look no further. Go to starchildsocial.com for all those advertising, marketing, and branding ideas, for they're my go-to, and they got you. And tell them that Blaze sent you. Indeed. So as confirmed, this is episode 75, panel time. All right, so I want to go around the room or go around the screen. Yeah, my sales voice, you know, I'd be trying. It's practice in the mirror and in the bathroom, any case. I want to go around the screen right here, and my lovely guests will introduce themselves, their name, their phone number, and just your name. Just your name and what your role or what your part is, what your position is within fitness. Let's just keep it professional for now. All right. So first off, I still can't get this right. All right. Let's go with the lady in the pink.
Hey. Oh, I'm over here. See, if I go that way, right there with you. Hi, my name is Stephanie Brooke. I'm happy to be back. Still nervous, just like the first time. I'm the GM at Crunch in Pembroke Pines. I'm also the group fitness director and now the PT manager. So a lot of hats. Very happy to do what I'm passionate about doing. So it means that I don't go to work a day in my life. I just go have fun.
There you go.
That's me.
I love it. All right, next up, Ms. Perez.
Hi, guys.
The other Perez.
Wait, how many Perez's we got on here? Oh, Stephanie Perez. Okay, Stephanie. So my name is Jenny Perez, and I'm a wellness coach for Herbalife Nutrition. So, and I've been in the fitness industry or involved with fitness and CrossFit for over 6 years now. And I'm passionate about weightlifting and just helping other people become their best version.
I love it. All right. Next, right below me.
Hey guys, this is Dulcie Palmer. Been in personal training and teaching many, many different style classes at many different gyms for years. I now own my own business called DMP Fitness. So I'm an independent contractor and I kind of do my own thing and have grew my business into being in my own little bubble. So that's my experience.
So humble. All right. And then last and least, I mean, not least, sorry.
Last. hello, my name is JC Santana, and I've been a presenter for a long time in the industry. I've published 18 books and currently own the oldest gym in Boca Raton, the Institute of Human Performance, and we've been open 21 years this April. So I'm a personal trainer. I'm a gym owner, I'm an author, and we're pretty active on social media and online certification field and things like that. So like all of you, I love what I do. And so it makes it bearable working long hours and for, you know, many, many days a week, sometimes 7 days, mostly 6 days. And, you know, you can't do that for 40 years unless you love what you're doing, because if not, you're going to be extremely miserable. And I'd like to think I'm not a miserable person. So there you have it.
There it is. And I'm just Blaze. You can do your research about me later. All right. So I want to jump right into this panel because we have a lot to cover. Some may make you laugh. Some topics may educate you, some may offend you, some may inspire you and push you to do better, and some may tell you to fix your damn face. So, indeed, let's jump right in. So, all of you may or may not get the same question, all right? So, there is no cheat code. So, don't think that because you get called on last, that you can just use what everybody else said. No, could be different. We have a lot of questions to go through. So I want to try to get through most of them, but give your honest reflections and your honest opinions and insight. Feel free not to hold back, for you're on the Blaze the Lion podcast. This is a safe space. So you are protected. Indeed. Hopefully. All right, here we go. So let's start this panel off with question number one. What is the current state of the fitness industry? And I feel we should start with none other than Stephanie for this one.
The current state. I actually thought about it today because I knew I was going to be on the podcast. So I wanted to not just get my own perception of what it is, but I wanted to get a feel for the people who surround me, because I am in the gym all day. So I wanted to get other people's perspective on what it is to them. And I kind of ended the day with, there's a little bit of everything in the fitness industry. We can take some good and some bad. But right now, what we need to be concerned with is the dynamics between people who are influencing the fitness journey in a negative way, meaning we're not seeing it as positive. We're seeing it as something that can happen overnight. We're seeing just competitiveness on just what our body should look like when nobody's body is the same. Nobody's mental health is the same. So how dare we compare one to the other when everybody's individual journey is unique to themselves? So I feel like what we should be concerned with is that we are doing this constant comparison, one person to the next, in what should be a personal journey and a unique journey. And right now, I think we're just sabotaging a lot of our vulnerable communities that don't know where to go. And I think there's a lot of people, influencers, let's just put it out there, influencers that are taking advantage of that, of people who don't have the knowledge or the motivation or the dedication or the drive to do it on their own. And then there's just those people who are just waiting for you to just reach out to them in your most vulnerable time, just to take advantage of that. Told you about this. So that's where I feel we're at. So it's a little bit of everything, but I feel like we need to pay attention a little bit more on how we're influencing the people that are surrounding us and counting on us.
I love that. And I want to get another perspective on this same question, the current state of this fitness industry. I want to go to the other Perez. Jenny.
Remind me the question. You said what the state is?
What is the current state of the fitness industry?
Well, I'm going to piggyback off what Stephanie said, because, you know, there is a lot of different fitness influencers and models out there that, you know, are either selling a product or showing their results. And, you know, assuming, or other people assume that they can get those results within, you know, 2 weeks or a month. And everybody's journey looks different. And everybody's body is different today. So, and, you know, we have to coach every single body, according to their body and their goals. And I just think that, you know, it negatively impact, like she said, because people are constantly themselves what this person looks like, ideal body. There is not really any ideal body. Really, as long as you're working towards your health goals and taking steps, you know, towards getting results is what matters.
Yeah. Your audio is a little
coming in and out.
Yeah.
I did hear some weird about that.
Yeah. Maybe try to lower it a little bit. Yeah. I mean, it goes to the individual. There's not just one size fits all. There's not just one package is it. And if your body doesn't look like this or like that, then you're not progressing or you're not healthy. I mean, this goes deep. Miss Bosu, same question. What is this current state looking like?
All right. So the girls covered that. I'm going to take it a little bit different direction. So I'm thinking more like fitness industry, like what's changing, what's going on in the industry. And I think as someone who's been around a long time, it's cool to see like the virtual aspect of the fitness now. And how the big box gym versus studio gym, how all of that is now changing in the fitness industry also. And how that affects people, whether it's a big situation where they're fighting for equipment and around a lot of people and judge, or how people now kind of gravitate also towards smaller studios and smaller classes, a little more pricey, but they're going for that because they feel like they realize situation maybe, and the crowd that's at home working virtually for training. And I think that's been a big change ever since our pandemic, that the fitness industry definitely changing a little bit as far as that, the people willing to stay home and not going into some of the facilities, or maybe they're going to the facilities a few days a week, but they're also supplementing with their virtual classes.
Mr. JC.
I think we're in flux right now, but I see it heading in a very good direction. I've always been an optimist, you know. So yes, you know, the influencers and stuff, but you know what? That's been going on since I first ordered the $5 dynamic tension program from the Bazooka Bubblegum. Okay, this is when I was 12. This is 50 years ago. What was the commercial? The commercial was that the skinny guy lost his girlfriend at the beach to a big bully. Voila, he does this program. He comes back, punches the big bully, takes the girlfriend back. Who bought those things? I did. I was 12 years old, 5 cents in an envelope. You get back a poster with the thing and the towels and this isometric and stuff like that. Gullible. But I have the reason to be gullible. I'm 12 years old and I want a nice body and I want to be strong. I don't want to be the skinny guy. We'll amplify that a million times with social media. And now you don't only have 12-year-old gullible kids that just want to be stronger and get exercise. Now you have a slew of people, and then you have a slew of predators. You have a slew of misinformers and so on and so forth. We're never going to get rid of that. Never, especially now. So look, we had COVID beat us in the ass. I mean, just crushed us. I had to go into debt just when I was getting out of debt with an SBA loan to keep my gym alive. And I'm rolling the dice on me and that place. Why? I think COVID woke us up to the importance of health. And I'm sorry that it took people dying and a bunch of lies to do that. But you know what? It is what it is. We're here. So I think people care more about their health now than before. And that helps the people who are surviving in this world, because a lot of gyms went down. I mean, when Peter Twist closes his 25,000 square foot place up in Canada, after 25 years, if he closes, how many people? He's at the top of the food chain. How many people closed? So there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a big, big market for the people who remain. Okay. It's like the forest fire. Only the strongest seeds survive. And what happens 20 years later, you have a bigger forest with smarter animals and so on and so forth. So I think we're in a good place. I think the businesses that are here now are going to be healthy and moving forward. I think that the public will gravitate more towards gyms once the fear is over. We're already seeing it. We're already seeing the bump at IHP, all right? You know, the scaredy cats are going to wear masks the rest of their lives. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can be on a bike. I see them on a bike, on a trail, 95 degrees, and they're wearing masks. So those people, they wear masks alone in their cars. And you know what? I don't even bother with that. Let them wear their masks. No problem. So I see us in a very good place. Okay. We're going to have to get funky with the pricing now because of the inflation. Luckily, I'm in Boca Raton, which is recession proof. I mean, these people are making millions of dollars a year. So spending $300 or $400 on personal training for them, that's not going to happen. What may be curtailed is, am I going to buy that mansion in Greece that I wanted to buy this year? Maybe I'll hold off. Or, you know, do I invest in a yacht right now? Maybe I'll wait. That's the decisions they're making. They're not going, I took a hit in the stock market. I don't think I can afford personal training anymore. So those that want to be involved, we're going to just price it at the right place so we can figure out as gym owners, hey, a membership with a workout, a membership with some support online, blah, blah, blah. So I think we're in a very good place, not to mention that fitness is probably the healthiest thing you can do for mental health. Because think about this. How many serial killers have you seen lately that have memberships at gyms and go to them? Not too many. Okay. So people who are coming to gyms, they're going there for more than three sets of 10. They're going there because the gym is a little community. It's a church, like-minded people. They say posture changes with exercise. No, posture changes when you walk into the gym and you see everybody standing up straight. All of a sudden, you don't want to be the only one slouching. And like that, many other things happen. You eat better, you sleep more, you control your life a lot more, you drink less, or you abuse your body less, let's put it this way. So I think we're in a pretty good situation right now. It's coming, although it's hard. We're in a good situation, the strong will survive, and we can do a lot of good that's needed in today's society. A lot of good, because people need help with their health. Just basic, hey man, just move and walk a little bit. This is how you kind of eat to improve your situation. Oh, you know, we train UFC fighters. I've got 4 guys going in June, 3 going in July. So my gym is full of testosterone, but it's also full of very nice people that just want to come in and be healthy. So I think that the fitness industry, let's put it this way, is in a position where we can help save society. And I've always thought that, because I think what goes on in the gym parallels what goes on in church. We just use physical movement as our form of prayer. But the results are, I can parallel the results of faith, enlightened spirit. I can parallel that with everything that goes on in the gym, everything. So how can we not be excited to be in the field? We're an industry of principles. If you don't show up and you don't do the work, you can't get the results. Principles. No prime. You're not going to get it overnight. So it requires discipline. You know, it requires tenacity. It requires priority. It requires moving resources. Say, you know, I can't. I don't want that. I'm not going to have that because I want this. That's all principle-based learning. It's an evolution. And it's a, like I say, it's a spiritual evolution, but we just drive the physical to get what we want. So I love where we're at.
On that same point, and coming out of COVID or the pandemic, to survive in this fitness industry, does it have to be all about the money? And this can go for anyone.
No, it's like, you know, money can't buy happiness, but it can certainly rent it for about 80 years. You know what I'm saying? Temporary. It can cover flaws. So you do need, for example, if I'm going to do my work at IHP, money's important to me, because if not, I don't have a facility. I don't have a church.
Right.
If I want the church, okay, I need to be concerned with the money. Now, the question is a church needed to propagate the religion and the belief? And the answer is no, because we can all be ministers of what we do without a gym. Mm-hmm. If you choose to have a gym, you have to have that financial concern. You have to have it.
You have to, just to piggyback, you're 100% correct. However, I think what we're doing right now is we're turning it into just for profit. How much we can make at the end of the day has been priority. And I understand the fitness industry has to survive. We all have to make money. I've been doing this for a long time, raising two kids. And I know we have to make money. Being a trainer doing that is not easy. So I understand the financial security that is needed. I also understand that when you come and approach this industry with genuine care, you really don't have to worry so much about the financial aspect. It'll take care of itself. People understand genuine care and concern for their well-being, for their mental health, not just for their fitness. And they will follow that. And I don't think any of us in a genuine state of mind has ever lacked any financial restitution for what the services that we've been providing.
I agree with that. You know, passion goes a long way, but I don't want any more college kids saying, okay, why do you want to do this? Because I have a passion. Okay, what else? What are you willing to do? Because passion doesn't pay the rent. But if you have passion and you do the work, I'm with Stephanie. Things line up. The bigger the operation, the more concerns you have to have, because all of a sudden, you know, one of my ACs broke today. I don't know what the bill's going to be, but you know, that kind of stuff, you know, where if I was an independent trainer at some gym, man, I'm running on fumes, baby. I'm running on fumes. If somebody cancels, no big deal. I lose a client, no big deal, because I don't have any overhead. But when your overhead is $66,000 a month,
yeah,
and you got things that can happen, it's a drag. And let me tell you, because I don't like the whole money thing. I don't like the bookkeeping. I don't like none of that. I don't even like talking about it. Just like I don't like social media. I don't do social media. That's my son. When you see me on social media, it ain't me posting. And it's not me answering. It's him answering. That's why his Spanish sucks sometimes, because he does Google Translate. So I don't do social and I don't do money. But I have to be concerned, because if I want to keep my doors open with the big 7,200 square foot standalone building that's been there for 21 years, unfortunately,
it's a necessary evil. Yes,
it is. I pay rent to myself, luckily. So, because I own the property with a partner, but you know, there's a bigger drag, financial drag, along with that stuff that doesn't allow you to live artistically the way you are when you're a personal trainer and you can go to any gym you want and you can go to the park and I ain't gonna work today and we're all good. Oh, I wish I had those days again.
Bosu, so I want you to jump in here, for you've experienced both sides. You've experienced the freelance trainer, right? But you've also experienced the studio owner too. So all about the money.
I'm not all about the money if you know me. However, what JC is saying is 100% right. You know, I was a much smaller scale than you, JC, but I needed $15,000 a month to keep those doors open. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy as a little studio. And it puts a whole different perspective on things. So competitiveness, you know, staying relevant, staying priced properly and all those things is so important. And getting to the point where people understand that that is a fair and proper way to spend your money, you're spending it on yourself, you know, and it's sad that sometimes we have to really remind people that instead of maybe having a $1,200 phone, maybe you could spend a couple hundred dollars a month on some training and a gym membership and, you know, those kind of things. So the money being prioritized for them, which would help keep us open and doing the things we need to do. That's kind of where the conversation goes a lot for me, is getting them to understand why they're spending that money there. You know,
getting to understand the investment in themselves.
There you go. The investment, you know, it's like the phrasing, right?
Yes, it's just how you put it. If you think about it this way, a lot of times I look at the kids around us, because I'm not a kid anymore. So I look at the kids around us.
No.
And no. my daughter's almost 20, so
I thought you were 20.
Jeez. I know, me too.
No, when you look at, you ask them what do they spend their money on, I watch them spend $6 a day or twice a day, $6 a day on Starbucks, or $7, or they go out and they eat. I said, well, listen, if you do the math on this and this is something that you require and that you need, why don't you cut back on these things and it'll lessen the hit of the investment. But it's a matter of having members and clients understand that this is not just money that we're receiving. This is money as an investment in themselves.
Right.
So we need to make a living and they need something. So we are just providing them, facilitating them a little bit of extra on their journey. And they have to make the investment. So we invest in them, so they invest in us.
Yeah. It's an exchange of energy, really. Yeah,
really, that's all it is. So when it comes down to money, it's just we both need money. We have to exchange it in order to be able to get this going. So let's do it.
Yeah. Jenny, my question for you is, why are fitness models and influencers necessary for the industry?
Well, I think fitness models are necessary in order to motivate people. And I don't know, I feel like most fitness models, I mean, if you're not looking at in the sense of comparing yourself to them, they're, you know, showing you what's possible. They've gotten results on, you know, their products, you know, at the gym. And for motivation, I feel like ideally you look up to them. Sometimes people need that person to look up to at the end of the day.
And what about the influencers? So what about like yourself? Like you saw the Herbalife. Why are people like you necessary for this industry?
Well, like I said, I feel like we show people what's possible, like throughout our results and our fitness journey, we show them, you know, that this is something that they can accomplish, that, you know, we were at this place or at this certain spot in our lives where, you know, we had these really bad habits and, you know, weren't in control of ourselves and weren't taking care of ourselves. with nutrition and exercising and things like that, and how this has changed us. And at the end of the day, we show them what's possible and help them out and guide them to get the same, well, not the same results, but to get results as well.
Have BBLs ruined the industry? Bosu, what you got?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If that's what you're interested in, that look and at that expense, then you go down that lane. But let me tell you, there's a whole nother population out there that just wants to do it organically, that is, you know, struggling and going through all the avenues it takes to get where they want to get, but they're down for it. So as much as we focus on the plastic surgery and all that good stuff, there, let's be honest. I mean, look at the people we work with, guys. I don't know about you, but there's a whole population out there that we can concern ourselves with that want to do it right.
Can you remind me what because I never knew what it was. So I didn't need reminding.
Brazilian butt lift.
Oh, Brazilian butt lift.
So it's basically a fat transfer. It's something that I used to want to do. Well, sometimes still want to do, but they get fat from like your tummy and they put it into your butt.
Right.
Yep. Hey.
But I do want to take the route of working on it, because there's no greater satisfaction than me saying that I, you know, grew it on my own, because that muscle can grow. So.
And look, we've had influencers since day one. There were endorsements from Farrah Fawcett, from the Million Dollar Man. You guys are too young to even know about this, because these were. You know, these were series and when I was 10, 12, 13, and I'm 63 now. So you're looking back 50 years. We've had influencers. It was a third party endorsement. But back then it was an actor, because we didn't have social media. Right. It was some kind of important person that everybody knew that says, I like this, you know, or I like that program. And bingo, people would gravitate to that and they would make a portion of the earnings. OK, so we've always had influencers. Let me tell you, man, I train high level athletics, as I have a SEAL Team 6. So I've had the ability to look at different people operating at the very highest level. I'm going to say one word: genetics. And it doesn't matter if you can see the genetics, because there's more intergenetic variability inside the body than there is outside. So we think genetics of how high, how tall you are, the hair you are, what you look like. Aptitude is genetic. Things like humor, discipline. Now, can you move your genetic bandwidth? Yes, you can. But a person who's 5'6 will never be 6'2. And a person who's really truly an introvert can work on public skills, but they're still an introvert. And an introvert doesn't mean that you can be in public or not be in public. Introvert is something else. An extrovert is something else. But it's genetics. So when we look at models saying, yeah, this is the way to eat, this is the product to take, look at my abs. Very few people earn those abs as I would have to earn them, because I'm in the fitness industry. I know how to train. All my life I've been an athlete. And for me to get abs, I mean, where you can see abs, okay, I got to be below 13%. I got to diet and I got to train hard in a way that I'm not even interested in training that way anymore. Okay. I just want to be healthy. So there's people my age who have abs, and there's athletes that I competed against that showed up to the scale with Kentucky Fried Chicken in this hand and veins coming down their abs. And I'm going, great. You know, look at this animal. And I see them every day. I train UFC fighters. Some that you can see are not genetically gifted aesthetically. And I train guys that look and you go, Jesus, I mean, I can train 3 lifetimes. I will never even come close to that. So genetics is a big thing. And what we got to tell people is, look, all these models, most of these models were born with a certain genetic predisposition where they're lean, they're young, and all that stuff. And so we are in a great position to dispel myths. And nothing is more welcomed by the average population that comes into your gym or to train with one of you, for you to say, you know what, all of that is fine and dandy, but that guy is genetically, that girl is genetic. You see that butt? That butt you're either born with, certain shapes, and you can go down to the muscular structure, and you can go down to the skeletal structure. I do a presentation on biomechanics, and if you see the skeletal variance between people, you would go, oh my God, now I understand why some people can't even squat to parallel without breaking. Some people can go to yoga and survive that, and others go to yoga, and I don't care if it's modified, they're coming out hurt because their bodies don't bend a certain way. So just like some butts are nice and can be made very nice. But you know who I'm talking about, ladies. You get that flat ass girl that's just like zoom.
There's nowhere to go from there. It's hard. I've been a trainer for close to 11 years, and it's hard to have that conversation with people about their body composition, about what their body is structurally made to look like. Yes. And I'm not just talking about ectomorph or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I'm talking about if you don't put in this amount of effort, you are not going to look this way. I've told many of my clients, I will not give you a butt. If you were not born with it, if it did not come out of the womb, if you look at your aunties and your uncles and all, if they don't have it, you're not going to have it. I can, however, make it look better. We can lift it. We can shape it. We can make it look pretty within the size that it's supposed to be. Right. I think when we talk about the BBL or we talk about fitness models, we're talking about that. That's the image that they're presenting to people and saying, you can look like this. But who are they to say that we can look like this or that they can look like this if that's not their body composition? So again, you're setting them up for failure.
Right.
So now we end up with people who maybe if you were honest with them from the get-go and say, listen, I understand your body is shaped like this. We can make it look better. I'm not going to do miracles. But from here moving forward, we're going to work on this together. If this is our journey together, it's we all the way through. And this is, you're going to look great. You don't have to look like this person. The fitness model has been dehydrating herself for the last week to be able to take those pictures. Mm-hmm. She has been eating lettuce and chicken for the past week just to make sure that that picture looks 100% perfect.
Yeah.
So my anger with them, or me being upset, is how dare you tell people who are trying their hardest with their own body composition that they have to look this way. That's where I come in.
But I think that's more than the models. I think that's society as a whole.
Yes.
Because for example, if you look at the covers of any female fashion magazine, we all know that all those things have been Photoshopped. Legs have been lengthened. Yeah. Complexions have been fixed. Faces have been lengthened. Eyes have been changed. We know this. We know this. It has nothing to do with fitness. This has been going on since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. And it's affected women much more than men, because men are valued on the power they wield traditionally, right? Mm-hmm. The amount of cattle that they own, the land that they control. Women have been valued on their looks and what kind of man they attract. So you take two twins, one is married to the prince and the other one is married to the blacksmith. Guess which of the two ladies has a higher social economic status? The one married to the prince, okay? Because that's historically been that way. Thank God that now it's quite different. We see women that are CEOs. We see women in like really badass positions, like a head of the CIA, border patrol, head of border patrol. So, but I don't get angry at the influencers because they are who they are. And it's like you can't get upset at some of the competitive gyms that go out there and just beat the piss out of people. And they advertise and all this. You want to know why? Because sooner or later, I get them as clients. Mm-hmm. You just have to be patient. When they get hurt over there, they're coming over here. Or their kids will go over there and the parents will come here. Mm-hmm. The kids will go over there and do that group athletic SAQ. And the parents will come in and throw down that $125 personal training with you. Not with them, with you. So I say be patient. Stay true to your stuff, which is integrity. Have integrity. Be authentic. Stay there. They'll come. They'll end up at your doorstep sooner or later.
I don't want to beat a dead horse here. especially because I'm vegan, so I wouldn't be beating a dead horse or a live horse. But in any case, and I'm trying to find a way to phrase this question, but I'm just going to say the question. So, yeah. Is it me? Like, maybe it's just me. Like, maybe she's born with it. Or maybe it's Maybelline. But, sorry. Is it me? Or many of these people who pay thousands of dollars for surgery, and in my opinion, they look like ants, like the insects, like bugs, with skinny legs and this big, I don't understand. Do they know how they look? I try to grasp, like, what happened here?
Dysmorphia is what happened.
I was just about to say.
How they look.
That's what we're seeing and what they're seeing is not the same thing.
That's right.
Yep. It's like Michael Jackson, you know, like Richard Jenny said, this is what happens when you break something until you, when you fix something until you break it. This, they have dysmorphia. They'll never look good. They'll never look good. And whatever the dark lips and the eyes and the butt and the thing, they don't see that. And so the next thing will be fat transplant to the thighs and implanted calves. It's like the more they try to fix what they screwed up, the more screwed up they get.
Not yeah.
It's the way it
is. Becomes an addiction.
Yeah, yeah. You know it's bad when the doctors go, I'm not operating on you anymore.
Man.
I can't breathe. You know, I got the boat that you bought me with the boobs and the butt. I can't do anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, keep taking that money.
There has to be a man. So I want to get deep. I want to get dark. I want to get dreamy. And I want to maybe throw in some tear jerkers and all of that. Before we go down that road, my panelists, do you know what time it is?
What time?
Waiting. What time is it?
Speak up.
That's what I think he throws questions out and you got to answer them really fast. Is that the time?
Oh, geez.
No? Okay. All right, Blaze.
Thank you.
Somebody gave it out.
Color time.
Color time?
Color time. Oh,
I knew it was something that you said that you needed to respond to quickly. And it was the color. All right.
Color time. It's the portion of the show where I get to laugh at you all. And I yell out various colors. And you all quickly share what that color means to you. Indeed, indeed, indeed. So many of you have experienced color time at some point, or maybe half of you on this panel. I think probably Steph has the most recent experience. Everybody else, just follow along. Indeed, indeed. So there is no right or wrong answer. It can be anything. For example, if I say the color brown, in some episodes, some people have said chocolate or my brown skin. Brown is awesome. Brown is beautiful.
Wow.
Then other people for brown have said dog poop. That's what they think.
That's what I thought.
See? Exactly. So there is no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever comes to mind, should I say. All right. Yes, poop on the screen.
Poop.
All right. So
please one of the color. Because when you said color, the first thing I said, if he says brown, I'm going to say poop.
Yeah. No, we won't be saying brown. Brown is off limits. All right. So, and you all won't get the same color. So you all got to think. All right. This will go in a weird order. So no one is safe here. Okay. You might even get back-to-back colors. So be afraid. Be very afraid. All right. Here we go. Color number one. Army green, Bosu, what you got?
Workouts, camo, boot camp.
Okay.
You want me to keep going?
Sure. If you have anything else.
military, like that's the family I think of that whole deal.
Okay. Here we go. JC.
I
Doodoo Brown.
What? Doodoo Brown?
Doodoo Brown.
No, not joking. I'm joking. No. JC, lime green, lime green.
Lime green, lemonade. And the reason I think of lemonade is that's the only way I can down a gallon of water a day. I put a little bit of lime juice, a little bit of stevia in a gallon of water, and I chug that every day. So when you go lime, anything lime, that's what I think of. And I'm Cuban. We only have limes. We don't have lemons.
So when I get into a discussion
with my fiance about, bring me lemons. Which one is that, the yellow ones or the green ones? Because in Cuba, there's only green ones, and we call them lemons. Yes, that's a lemon here.
But I'm Cuban, and I eat lemons and limes. Wait, the camera's over here.
They don't have lemons in our native land.
Mm. So us, no, I didn't know that.
Limes, lemons are limes. That's it. We call them limones.
Limón. Yeah.
Limón, yeah. That's it. Green. So I think of lemonade. No kidney stones. If anybody has suffered from kidney stones, you will know the importance of staying hydrated, boy, beyond health. This is just pain avoidance.
That part.
Well, you know, I know Stephanie has had two girls. I don't know if Jenny and Dulce have had babies, but the nurses have said, I've had babies and I've had kidney stones. I'll take the babies.
Wow.
Yeah, I hear they're very painful. I guess I see why I've never had kidneys. Not the babies, the kidney stones. I hear they're very painful, but yeah. I always drink water. So,
Jenny,
I don't think water can help you when you're having babies.
Brick red. I'm just thinking of red, and I think of blood, but brick red. I mean, I don't know. Brick red reminds me of like Savannah. And like the homes with the bricks and stuff, like Savannah, Georgia, and stuff like that.
Mm. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Stephanie, golden brown.
Golden brown?
Hmm.
It's golden brown. Golden poop, I guess. Glitter poop? I don't know. It's like... golden brown.
Yeah, diarrhea.
What does golden brown look like? I might have to Google what golden brown looks like.
Exactly. That would be my question.
That was a mean color. Blaze, you need to for a different color.
Let's tone that one down. That one.
Golden brown? I think of hash browns.
Oh, okay.
I don't think of
hash browns as brown. I think of it as maybe
beige.
Golden. Not brown.
As white with a little burnt crust, right?
Right.
Pancakes are golden brown.
Oh, there you go. Pancakes. I stick to my previous statement, golden poop. We're going with that one.
All right. We're going with the golden poop.
We're going with golden
poop. Bosu, back to you. Give it to me. Pearl black.
I think of... metallic black, so shiny things, something that has like a shiny finish on it, but it's black, and that's what I think of pearl black, like a car, a sexy car.
What car would you like to see in pearl black?
I would like to see a Dodge Hellcat.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay. My car.
Okay. You just bought one?
No, I wish.
I mean, I haven't seen you in like a couple of weeks, so I wasn't sure. I need like an update on like what's going on. Okay, cool.
I'll let you know.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. Stephanie, back to you. This will be a better color.
We're going to stay in the crayon box?
No, but but it'll be a better color. What is the name of that color? All right. Silver.
Wait. What did we kill? werewolves with? Don't you kill them with silver?
I've never fought a werewolf.
It's okay. Yeah. Never mind.
I feel like silver has to do with werewolves or something.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know why I went all the way there, but that's where my mind went. It was like, we're killing werewolves. We're going silver.
Or vampires or werewolves.
Is it vampires or silver? One or the other.
I'm not sure.
In True Blood, with vampires, yeah. Vampires, I think, but
we're killing that something. Garlic.
Garlic is the vampires, and silver is the werewolves. There we go.
There you go. Okay.
Taking care of some werewolves with some silver.
Got it.
JC,
yes, sir.
Garlic white.
You know, I was gonna say, stop using adjectives. Just give me the color, man.
Yeah.
You know, just give me the color because it's pearl, shady, bright. Just give me the color, man.
Pronoun white. I mean,
pronoun white. Snow. And I there's a special reason for that is because every time if I'm nauseous, I think of one thing, and that's snow with pines, that fresh, clean air. So as soon as you say white, snow. Boom.
Okay. I'm going to go around the room. This is our last section of color time, and then we're diving into the more personal side of mental health. All right. To you, what color represents fitness? Let's go with Jenny.
What color represents fitness?
For you.
I'm going to say green because green is my favorite color and it makes me happy and fitness makes me happy. So okay. I'll say green.
Okay. Stephanie, same question.
Gold. Gold standard.
Like a goldsmith?
No, not like goldsmith. The gold standard is what we should all be kind of dedicated to in bettering ourselves. Gold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bosu?
I'm going to say red, and I don't exactly know why, but I like red. I feel like red can go well with anybody or anything. It's powerful, yet it's bright. It's good for everybody. So red.
Okay.
I'm a red guy. I'm a red guy. Red cars are faster than any other color cars. Everybody knows that. It's energy. And when you go to the gym, you're not always looking for cheerleading and the high energy, but you are looking for a strong energy. And I believe red represents that.
Hmm. Agreed. All right. Good job, you all. Good job. You all survived.
We made it through the poop.
Yeah, and you're still here.
Yay.
So now let's get personal. So we've spoken about, you know, the trends and the state of the fitness industry and influencers and models, and is it all about the money and all of this? So now, during your own personal fitness journey, I'm gonna get somewhat personal. Were there any points in your fitness journey that you wanted to quit? That you wanted nothing to do with fitness as an activity or as a profession? Whoever wants to start.
We all know we need our business on social media platforms, and at Starchild Social, through research and planning, we create converting posts and stories that attract your ideal client, taking that weight off your shoulders, enabling you to focus on achieving your goals for your business. Check us out for a free consultation at www.starchildsocial.com. Starchild Social, holding your hand through this ever-changing world of social media.
Bosu.
Never. Never at all. Not since I started. Never. There's been places or, you know, I've wanted to quit. There's been clients I've wanted to quit. There's been, you know.
What places?
Situations.
What places?
Oh, no, no, don't do that.
What clients? Come on, talk to us.
No, 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 I'm not, I'm filtered. I'm filtered.
Who hurt you?
But fitness? No. Easy, easy answer for me.
I've wanted to quit at least 10 times.
Really?
Yeah. It never lasts for more than a day. But there are days where it's just like, I'm done. And then I get like that reminder. Yeah. I get that lady in my class who's like, I was battling cancer. And the first thing I did was come to your class. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. I can't leave. All right. Okay, guy. Okay.
I hear you. Right.
I'm not going anywhere.
I think for me, it's been the same. I thought about quitting a million times. And then you sit in your car and you're thinking about it. And you're like, what else would I do with my life? Like, what do I want to do? What would make me happy other than this? And then just like Blaise says, you get that one person that for some reason that day decided to approach you and say, hey, thank you for what you said the other day, or thank you for that workout, or thank you for, I wasn't going to come in today, but something made me come in and I'm so happy I did. And then you kind of look back and you're like, well, I can't really walk away from this. It's kind of, you feel responsible. And at the same time, you know that there's no, you guys know this, there's no better feeling than making a difference in somebody else's journey. It's just, there's no better feeling than it. So for me, for them, my fitness journey myself, I've never been able to quit. Like, I've never been able to stop. You know, you spend one or two days and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to do this. Fudge it. And then you just wake up the next day, you know, I have to do this. Like, I am not myself if I'm not doing this. So, yeah. That's how I feel about it.
It's that love and hate relationship with fitness, but I've never wanted to give up. And even though training gets hard and you want to cry, you want to throw up, like, I just genuinely, like, love it. I love to torture myself, I guess. I'm a masochist. But when it comes to, like, the business aspect, you know, I have had those moments where I want to give up because it gets hard. And you have to put yourself out there and talk to a lot of people. But at the end of the day, it is rewarding and I'm passionate about it. So.
You know, thinking of how to answer that question, I would lie if I didn't say we've all been through hard times. And when things are hard financially with COVID, you know, I thought, Jesus, is, you know, I've always wanted to leave this gym for my family. I always want to be that 80-year-old that came in 2 hours, 3 hours, you know. And, dude, if I closed IHP, I'd be at LA Fitness doing the same thing, helping somebody, doing what I was doing when I was 14 or 15, managing Brody's gym, writing workouts on napkins. Yeah. So I'm going, if I close this place, I'm going to do that at somebody else's place. So, yes, there's times and things have happened that make you – Not want to quit, but, you know, it makes you question your conviction. Your conviction gets tested, and it gets tested like that with everybody. You know, if you're an athlete, and I've always been a combat athlete, when you're getting pummeled, I mean destroyed, and you could easily say, all right, you know, let me take this little way out. I'm going to give this guy the choke or an arm bar, and I'll just tap and it'll be over. And you go, I couldn't live with myself if I did that. But you would lie if you didn't admit that those fleeting thoughts passed by. So I think we've all been through those, but at the end, I think it's who we are. You know, I mean, I've taken 2 months off of training. I got no problems doing that, especially when you get older, you have no problems doing that. Then the pains go away and you go, okay, I miss it now. And I go back. You know, so I'll take 2 months and not do any weight training. I'll just do biking. But not doing anything for 2 months, that's never happened. So, you know, maybe I hike. Maybe I walk. I've been on a walking craze where I was walking 30, 35 miles a week. you know. And so on the fitness side, I've always consumed it, but been balanced. On the business side, I've always wanted to do this. I was an engineer at Florida Power and Light and did that. And I did my, you know, almost 4 years of engineering at FAU. And it wasn't me. I did pre-med, worked in a hospital. I'm going, I don't want to do this. Mm. I don't want to do this. Mm. And this is what I, two things, this and music. This and music. And I think I would have been equally happy in music. And it's equally competitive because you see these savants playing in smoky nightclubs by themselves. And, you know, they're making $100 plus tips. And you're going, God, what talent. Why are they here? They're there because that's what they do, man. That's what we are born this way. We are wired this way. And I don't think there's other route for us. You know, what would we do? You'd be doing it at Equinox. You'd be doing it at whatever gym you join for free.
Hmm. Yeah.
But we've all been tested. We've all been tested.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In regards to testing, how big is depression in this fitness industry?
Hmm. You mean for the people, the trainers and the people working in the industry, or the
either,
members
themselves? Either. Whatever slice of pie you want to give us.
It's huge. I'm going to be 100% honest. I've always said, and I've always explained to staff and people who don't understand as much as we do, because we've been in it for so long. When people walk through the door to a gym, it's rarely about the little bit of fat on their belly, or rarely about their triceps being hangy or their arms not being tight. That is the cover up of why they walk through that door. A lot of times, by the time people walk through the door at the gym or a small studio or any facility, they're looking for something. They're looking for, a lot of times it's, they are depressed. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to pull next. And what is the easiest solution that you can control, that you think you can control, which is controlling your body. You control your body. You control your environment. You go someplace where people are healthy, or people who are trying to be healthy. That's, I think, the first step for somebody who is battling something. And until you sit with somebody who is willing to listen to your why, you'll never know who's actually depressed, because everybody covers it up so masterfully. Hmm. So I think a lot of people walk through that door having a tough time, whether it be they're completely depressed or whatnot. They walk through their door needing something. And I think that's what we're there for. We're there to provide and find out why they're there, not just fix the body.
The body's what gets them there. Mm-hmm. They think.
Yeah.
The body's the excuse they use to go in.
Yes.
And sometimes they don't even know what they want. So they're looking at the pictures from high school and they go, those were the days. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, dude, or yeah, honey, but those were the days where you didn't have bills. You didn't have bills. And you have this beautiful hormonal balance of a 17-year-old where you can eat Kentucky Fried Chicken and be 12% body fat. Those days are not here anymore.
Nope.
So here's the question. The most common vocal need that is expressed is basically not this way, but I want to look better naked. Everybody goes there for the aesthetics. Everybody wants to tighten, tone, lose. Okay. I would venture to say 95 to 98% of all my clients, and I've got clients that I've had for 25 years, okay? They haven't changed. But they have put $10,000 in the bank account of IHP for 7-10 years of straight training, brought their kids, and now they're bringing in their grandkids, right? Why? If they didn't get the weight loss that they came in to get, what is the valuable thing that they keep paying you $10,000 for? They don't know how to work out. They don't know how to work out. Why do they need us? And it's because magical things happen in a gym. The gym is as much a church as a church is. Okay. Now the church relies on belief and prayer to get you there. We rely on suffocation because strenuous exercise, by definition, creates a lack of oxygen. That, by definition, is suffocation. You can't breathe. You can't get enough oxygen. All right. I'm going a little bit on a tangent, but I'm going to bring it back. Okay. There's two things you can't do to an animal. They'll jump off of 11-story buildings, 89 stories. You can't burn them, and you can't suffocate them. 30 seconds on an Airdyne, 30 seconds on a VersaClimber, 20 burpees will do both to you. The acidic environment of the hydrogen that comes from lactic acid burns the muscles. And I mean, you guys know, it will burn them lungs. I mean, it will burn them. And then suffocation. I can't breathe. Okay. If we teach people to deal with that sensation, that perception, and relax the face, stay in the moment, none of this, no screaming, no grunting your face. Relax your face is the most common cue we give at IHP. It's not tighten the core, it's relax the face. 10 reps without drama, repeat. Training without drama, life without drama. Because you're teaching people how to stay in the moment in the presence of the two most disturbing sensations that human beings can live with, can experience. So if you do, say, 200, 300 reps per workout, you go three times a week, you're practicing present moment awareness, okay? 300, 600, 900 times a week, how can you be the same person? It happens organically. That's what people find in the gym. But what happens if trainers teach that specifically? So you use the words. You say, relax the face. This is what it is. Squinting is this. Dun, 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 dun. When you relax the face, in essence, you're doing this. Boom. Got it? They'll tell you. You know, the other day, Johnny was sick. Yeah, two-year-old kid. Screaming, man. Screaming. And all I could remember was you telling me, relax the face. Relax the face. If not, and in the old days, I would have lost it. Somebody cut me off, gave me the finger. I was going to go up to them and found them on the red light. And I was going to roll myself. And all I could think about was you saying, relax the face. They start to use it. So life becomes better. So when you talk about mental health, if you teach fitness from a mental health perspective, and I do this with SEAL Team 6 and with the fighters, because boy, if you need to stay, I mean, focus, it's when you're cut here, your nose is broken, and it's the last round, and it's a tight fight, and you know, $1 million are on the line for the championship. You gotta stay like a cyborg. Mission oriented. In the present moment, this is all that matters. I don't like it, I don't hate it. It's not hard, it's not easy, it just is. It just is. And it that teaches a very, very strong spirituality, a very strong self of sense of my. I always say, have I ever given you something you can't do? The answer is no. Life won't either. Life will never give you a challenge that you can't handle. Just like here. And I equate everything they're doing to life, everything they're doing to the ring, everything they're doing to their marriage, to their kid. So when you say, how do I see the fitness industry, man, we may be the lone survivors and the people who help other people survive. I think we have the most influential career there. You guys tell me, one career that has helped more people with more contact hours daily than ours. Show me, if you show me one, I'm going to go, ah, that's a good one. Okay, I'll take second fiddle to that one. Doctors, attorneys, psychiatrists, psychologists. Show me one that changes more lives on a daily basis with human contact. How many trainers worldwide? 2 million? Okay, if each one does 6 hours of personal training a day, how many contact hours do we have daily? How many people getting hurt? How many lawsuits are there here in the United States because a personal trainer hurts somebody? I'm talking about real lawsuits. I'm not talking about frivolous stuff. Real. It's a handful, man. It's a handful. Even the numbnuts can't kill people because this body's so resilient. So personal training, even with unqualified people, remains probably safer than driving on I-95.
Facts.
You know, and how many people leave the gym feeling worse than they came in? Nobody. It's like church. Who leaves church sadder, heavier? Nobody. Who leaves the gym more pissed off? Nobody. We're dealing with a lot of spiritual stuff, and it's backed up by physiology. It's backed up by the pharmacy that opens up that we don't even know the drugs that are in that pharmacy when you start breathing. And it doesn't require you to move because there's spiritual disciplines that rely on hyperventilation. So you breathe for about 20 minutes, and let me tell you, I've done them, and you get very emotional. You're sitting on a bed going, and you do that for 20 minutes, and they ask you about what's beautiful in your life. They ask you about the worst day of your life, and you can come up with that bang, and you live it. It's very heavy. So heavy breathing by itself does it. And it's through hormones. It's through stuff that's in our body. That's in every gym. That's what we work with, man. We're the ultimate pharmacists. We have the goodies.
Yeah. Bosu.
Sir.
Depression.
You know, speaking like more for the clientele, I see a lot of it in people that struggle to not make the changes, that have a hard time accepting that it's a process and that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And it might not, like JC said, happen for years. And accepting our bodies and accepting fitness as not only changing your body, but just as a wellness product also in your life. Because as I've gotten older, not in my 20s anymore, it becomes less about fitness and more about wellness. And that's where this whole mental health, all of it comes in, is that fitness is just one piece of the puzzle. You know, you don't spend all your days and nights in a gym, the average person. The gym, the fitness part of your life, is a very small piece of that puzzle. It's important, and it fits well with your sleep and your mental state and, you know, everything, your nutrition. I mean, nutrition at the end of the day, which we all know as professionals, if someone said, Dulce, tell me what to do, do I focus more on nutrition or fitness? I'm going to tell you, focus heavily on nutrition and then let's work to keep the body healthy. But if the nutrition isn't there, you can kill yourself in the gym. It just doesn't make sense. So it's wellness for me. And I feel like people get depressed around not seeing what they want to see. And I try to help them also feel what they want to feel, or the butt changes we talked about. You know, it's what do you feel? Do your clothes fit different? Do you feel like your butt's getting a little higher? Do you feel, you know, so for us, trying to help them get out of those depressive states of just the look, just the aesthetic of it all, but try to feel better, which I think would help some of that depressive energy that they feel around not looking the way they want to look.
Preach it, girl. I'm not feel. We had a employee meeting today. I said, your job is to create placebo effects. Your job is to create, man, if I could put my head on somebody's hand on somebody's head and have them walk out like happy, fulfilled, and all that, or I can walk the 5 kilometers. I can win the championship. I can get out of this wheelchair. The belief, the feeling. If you can provide that, that's the strongest thing we have. You can't even do a scientific research without taking into account this placebo effect, which means you get a perceived benefit when you really have no reason to, because the experimental drug was not provided. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's wrong with providing that?
Right.
What's wrong with providing that? A placebo effect. The, I feel better already. You know what? I'm going to drop weight. You know what? I'm gonna do that because I'm worth something. Yep. Because I'm worth doing it. You know, I'm gonna go win that fight. I'm ready, man. I got no doubts. You know, I'm gonna go for that job, that interview that I've been fearing. Yeah. It's all about the feel. And as far as nutrition is concerned, lack of exercise has never killed anybody, but the wrong food, the wrong stuff inside your body kills most.
100%.
So I'm like, good nutrition and walk. If you looked at the design of this body, that's what it's made to do. Eat from the forest and walk. And you don't have to walk 20 miles. Walk 1 or 2 miles. You know, village people, they don't walk 20 miles. And they don't run when they hunt. That's all BS. If you study primitive and tribal people, you'll see that they spend the greatest amount of time doing nothing. Because the smaller the body and the less energy, the less foraging they have to do, the less hunting. So it's not, it doesn't pan off to be 225 pounds and bench press, you know, a gazillion pounds. No. I want to be 150, 145, so I can walk my, you know, 200 yards to the river, grab that one fish that everybody here is going to share, and we're good. We're good. Boom. Come on back and then get on that hammock and have that mojito. No, I'm killing. Not an alcoholic mojito.
Not then.
Although those tribal people get down with some real bad acid, bro. To find your spirit animal.
Oh yeah, the shamans and all that. Ooh,
I've never been involved in one of those, and you know what? It's not on my bucket list. They say it's heavy. It's heavy. No, thank you. So it's not like they don't do stuff.
No, for sure. Jenny, I got two questions for you, actually.
Okay.
You are special, so you get two questions. One, so they're kind of the opposite of each other, sort of. So one is, do you have a story of a client that came to you or you saw some aspect of depression or pain or hurt? And then the second part of the question is success story. Someone that you were able to help them to radically change their life for the better.
Okay. So the first one was, what was the first one again?
The first one was, have you dealt with anyone?
Oh, client with depression or?
Yeah.
Well, I have different clients or close friends of mine that have struggled with depression and have, asked me, like, you know, what are things they should do? But first of all, I've told them to, like, work on themselves and write down the way they feel. And at the end of the day, telling them just going out for walks and things like that has helped them a lot. Or they've just they've been in really dark places and their fitness and working out has really changed their lives. Me per se, I wouldn't say that that's something that I really struggled with depression wise, but I did struggle with other things like certain addictions and things like that. So fitness has been able to be an outlet for me and more like I take out the addiction on working out instead of, you know, alcohol or drugs and alcohol and things like that. So, and then you said the other one was somebody that I've helped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've helped so many different clients of mine get results, weight loss results, and just in the way that they feel and telling them, you know, how to work on themselves and not, you know, nutrition first is key. And then with the fitness as well. And just like, you know, telling them to, they felt great because they learned how to appreciate, or sorry, I'm getting my words all twisted, but I told them, guided them, and they were able to, and told them, I got frozen.
Is there one particular person or is there one particular story that comes to mind where you were able to see them from their current state and you were able to see over the weeks or over the months or the years, whatever, just the benefits and their growth? Is there like any certain story that comes to mind?
Yeah, I have a friend and a client. Her name is Maria, and I introduced her, first of all, to personal development and working on herself. And the changes have been like incredible since December up until now. She was able to lose like 15 pounds, and she got out of a very toxic relationship and worked on her health goals and personal development. And now I feel like she's glowing and she looks like a whole different person, you know. Fitness and nutrition has changed her life, and she just continues to work on it daily. I feel like personal development is a big one, you know, and giving yourself credit and noticing, you know, all the small progress along the way, because we fail to notice, you know, the small wins and beat ourselves up. When you start noticing the small wins, you know, at the end of the day, you feel good about yourself and you keep going for more.
Absolutely. We got to celebrate the small wins. Stephanie, what makes you laugh?
Everything.
He has been the one laughing the most.
I'm always trying to laugh. It's cathartic. I mean, you should be laughing most of the day, especially when you've figured out, or when you think you've figured out where you're supposed to be and you're doing that. When you're living in a purpose, and you just gotta laugh. I mean, laugh about most things. Laugh when you're sad, laugh when you're angry. Just freaking laugh and enjoy it. I mean, can't hurt you, right?
Right.
Bosu, what are you laughing at right now?
At Stephanie. Oh, okay. She's contagious. I love her laugh.
You know, when I was, I've done, because I've been through so many different dark spots in my life, you know, everything from bankruptcy, now I don't know what I want to do with my career, divorce, and all the stuff that you go through, the loss of loved ones and everything. I've done a lot of different therapies and explored different therapies. And there was one class that was a laughter class. I kid you not. And the guy who ran it just started laughing, and you're going, all right. And at the very beginning, you kind of find it a little weird. And then all of a sudden, then the second person starts to laugh, because you have to. It takes the first dude. And this guy's like a professional laugher, right? And he just starts, and you can feel, I mean, he's you know, he's got five people laughing, and we're laughing for 10 minutes. And I'm not that hard laughter isn't that hypoxic thing that the other lady had me do for 20 minutes. I'm not sure that different approaches, but they end up in the same place. Mm. So there's Stephanie, I'm telling you, you can run with it, girl. You can run with it. Laughter therapy. And it's not, no,
it's real genuine happiness and laughter. Have you ever tried having an angry conversation with somebody, or being just rude and disrespectful, and the other person just smiles at you? How can you like be mad at that person anymore? They just genuinely smiled at you. Like, I might not understand why you're this angry, but you're not going to get me there. So I welcome that you're angry. Go ahead and be angry. But I'm going to stay in my position. And this is my position. My position is I'm going to smile at you. And I might do a little chuckle and a little giggle. I'm sorry if that upsets you. It won't upset me.
Man, I've never found anybody like that.
I mean, most Latin women won't just laugh.
That would be my best friend, because I'm pretty good at insulting people. I mean, when I want to get to somebody, I'm going to get to them.
It's hard to insult this.
But I mean, who would want to insult that? I mean, that's another thing, you know? I mean, I have a different look than you, so I'm somebody that somebody would like to insult, you know? But that person is demented. Yeah. Pretty smiling face. Nah. But, you know, it might be coincidental that Robin said laughing is chicken soup for the soul. Laughter. So is it the mechanical aspect of laughing? Is it the psychological aspect or spiritual aspect of laughing, or a combination? It's just, you know, something you wonder, because you, if you look at other therapies and they have some common themes, and you go, I wonder if that has anything to do with it, you know? But man, laughter is awesome. I just came from the retreat that I told you guys about in up in North Carolina, and we had 8 guys. Some are now bringing their sons, you know, and oh my God, it's, sometimes you got to excuse yourself and just go to your room because your face is hurting. Hmm. You know, your face is hurting from laughing with your college buddies. Hmm. You know, and what's beautiful is that our sons are there to see the difference between a real friend and a Facebook friend. Hmm. And I tell my son, you see this? 40 years, baby. No, nobody misses this reunion. People drove 14 hours to spend 36 hours with us and then drove back just to respect and honor the get-together, the yearly get-together. So that role modeling, guess what happens in gyms? Guess what we do? Guess how people see us? Just like that.
Yeah.
So that's the intangible, man, that doesn't equate to $70 a month. Doesn't equate to the $125 an hour. You know, it's that je ne sais quoi, is that juice.
It's that juice. Genuine. Energy is contagious.
100.
Your energy, you have to be so aware of your body language, of your face, of just what you're putting out there for people to see. And if you really want to be an example and you really want to be somebody positive, I don't say, listen, I'm not smiling all the time. I'm just genuinely happy is right now. So I smile. But when somebody walks through the door and you greet them with that same energy, they feel welcome. They feel happy. They feel, when somebody comes into my class, I want them to feel welcomed and happy. And I want to greet them with the biggest smile that I can, because I'm happy to see them and I want them to know it. And there's nothing better than your facial expression for that. That's why I hated the mask during COVID. Nobody can see us smiling at each other.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst. That's the worst. Mm-hmm. See, she can't even look ugly. See, you gave me an ugly face. She tried. Yeah, see, you and I can do the ugly face. She tried and she couldn't.
In closing, because look, it's been 90 minutes. We in here digging in, and
we clawed each other's eyes out. Damn it.
Nah, I know. I was hoping it'd be some sort of cat fight going on. But in this current state, I would love to close with a simple question. A simple question that maybe is cliche. Maybe we say it all the time, but I actually mean this. When I ask myself this question in the mirror, especially when I come out the shower and the abs are popping, and sorry, I got left again. But I ask myself this question pretty often. So I just want to hear from you all one at a time. How do we impact this world?
We as trainers?
We as people.
I was going to say showing up as our best selves, and just working on ourselves daily, showing people what's possible.
How about, I'm sorry, who was going to go?
No, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I think, like, just like Jenny said, showing up as your genuine self and being transparent sometimes about your own journey. Mm-hmm. We help others by just existing and living our true selves and living our journey. We all have something that we've been through that has put us on this path or on this journey. Something brought us to these people, so that we could help them. So being transparent, being as honest as possible, about yourself and your journey and who you are and why you're here. Not masking it under perfection and just pretending that you have it all figured out. I think just transparency, just bringing that, if you can bring that I think we help a lot of people.
Definitely. I think like focusing on the best part of things, yet dealing with the toughest part of things. So your focus or your energy is in the good place, but also understanding that we have to deal with people when they're not always in the good place, or we're not in a good place. And sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my clients help me. It's not all about me helping them, but damn, if it wouldn't be some days I needed to hear something from one of them.
Yeah,
for sure.
Numerous, numerous times that's happened to me where it's like, wow, I'm here to change your day, but you changed mine. Or hopefully we changed each other's, right? Because that's the best outcome. But focusing on the good energy, staying in the good of life and keeping people up, that's how we can help them and help change them. Yet understanding that when it's time to go in the trenches and get down and dirty, we have to be there with them also for that. And that's not just fitness. That's also your family. That's your child. That's your husband. That's your whoever it is in your life. The person in the grocery store that just, you know, needed to see your smile, Steph, or, you know, feel your good energy, JC, or, you know, whatever it is. That's how we help people every day. I don't have anything for you right now, Blaze. I'll come back to you.
You know, I always tell my trainers, the way you have to live is just leave the world a little bit better than you found it. That's it. And the easiest way to do that, and I wish it was my stuff, but it's not at Stephen Covey's, it's live your eulogy. Mm-hmm. Live your eulogy. What would you like for people to say about you when you're gone? And he talks about four circles: family members, friends, community, and your profession. Those four circles, you know, live your eulogy in those four. Be the best son you can possibly be. Be the best husband you can possibly be. And that doesn't mean we'll have downslides, man. We'll have errors. And when I tell my children, you're not going to be perfect, so give it up. But if you want close to perfection, do this. When you make a mistake, admit to it. Apologize and change your behavior to show your apology is true.
Yeah.
And if you do that, bro, you slip on the brown turd that we were talking about a little while ago, dust yourself off and say, I'm sorry, you know, I was here. I'll try not to do that again. And you will see through my actions that I really will try not to do that again. So live your eulogy. You know, it's like eat good stuff. Easy to say. The concept is easy. Doing it 24/7, 365 is a little difficult.
Yeah.
You know, hey, but what do? We have an event, a Super Bowl, UFC, a party, whatever. We have 7 slices of pizza, 3 garlic rolls, and 2 beers. Wow, that was heavy. Huh. And then what do tomorrow? We start paying their debt. A little bit more on the treadmill, a little bit more on the bike, tighter up on the diet, and you just make up for it. You change your behavior to show your apology is true. You change the way you eat to show that error was an error, or was an exception. Because it's not even an error, you know. So live your eulogy. I think if we all do that, and I think everybody here present does that, you know. And I think most people in fitness do that. Like I said, you want to talk about mental health. I would love to see the stats on how many people doing bad things are involved in the gym. Really involved, like go regularly, have a network of people inside the gym that they look up to, that they use for references, trainers like you that always have a smile on their face. And you know, like me, I always tell any client, nice to see you here. Thank you for coming today. So great to see you. And boom, always, whoever, if I don't know their name, doesn't matter. Nice to see you. Thank you for coming. Great to see you here. How many people that are involved in that are out killing people, robbing people, mugging people? I can't believe that it's too many. It's like how many members of the church are doing crimes? I'm sure that's maybe somebody is, but just
sometimes the pastor is the one doing a crime. But
hey, easy.
That's my bedtime.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like JC said, we'll never be perfect, But that doesn't mean that we just live our life like any old way and not understand that sometimes we're going to have to pay and what our actions are going to affect other people. Because guess what? Especially us here, we are being watched. Yep. People look up to us, and whether they get to know us in a personal way or not, it's the fact of what we do. We're put on a pedestal, and they watch. They watch our reaction when someone is in my class and they're on their cell phone, and they know my blood is boiling, and I gotta talk myself through some things before I lose it. And tell that person, well, why are you on the cell phone? Go out, you know, whatever. And they're looking at me to see if I'm going to choose violence. Not actual violence, but you know what I mean. Or if I'm going to choose love that day. You know? And yeah, so I always try to remember that we are always being watched. And we say one thing. We say things on our social media, or we tell people certain things in the gym, right, to eat right and be positive and all that. But what, you know, it really pays when you think no one's watching. Are you really that man or woman of integrity, right? When you're telling your clients to eat healthy and then you find yourself in the drive-thru or you make your client pay for coming to the session hungover, and then that night you are hungover, like, are you living that life separately or so? In any case,
preach.
Huh?
I said, practice what you preach.
Yeah.
I sometimes say things on my story to hold me accountable. Like, I'm going to go for that 3-mile run. And then I'm like, oh, snap. I got to run those 3 miles because I said it on my story. You're watching, you know?
Yeah.
So, Jenny, you don't think about taking that little shortcut at the end through the trees? And making it 2.5 and coming back home?
No, I got the Fitbit. I got to show them the actual 3 miles.
There it is.
I got to show them I did those 20,000 steps.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Truly, though, I appreciate everyone here on this, on this panel. I value everyone here. That's why you were asked to be here. It wasn't because I liked your individual smiles or anything like that. That definitely wasn't it. I just saw the value, and you all have your own movements. You all have your own following. You all are already making an impact in this world, and I see it. So I'm really grateful and honored that you all were able to answer the call and show up, because folks love you all, and I hear it all the time. I see it all the time. So I want to encourage you all here to continue doing the work that you do, even on days or hours where it's tough, where you want to quit, where you feel like it's in vain. You know, when you're really, really going through it, because we have a superpower. We have a superpower of providing fitness, and it's not just physical. It's spiritual. It is emotional. Because of us, people have created solid friendships. Mm-hmm. People are able to go into work. People are able to fit into their wedding dress or whatever on their second marriage or third marriage or whatever. sorry. I try and stay focused, but the way how my mind is set up. So what I'm trying to say is that I really do appreciate you all. And thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Jeez. This right here was episode 75, I think. If it's not, then blame
yourself. It was.
It was? Okay, there we go. Indeed. This here, the video of this episode, season finale, will be available on YouTube on the Blaze the Line podcast channel. The audio version will be available for streaming on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, and all those other weird platforms as well. Make sure you listen. And if you haven't heard all of season 3, which you ain't not, get caught up. All right. We had a plethora of different themes for season 3. We had DJs, right? We had.
I didn't have any all weekend.
Huh? I don't know who that is.
It was background noise. Sorry, guys.
I'm like, what? Like, why are you in my head? Okay. We had we had DJs. We had athletes. I'm going off of memory here with season 3. But we had so many panels as well for season 3. And in May, we spoke about mental health. And then, of course, if you want to check out season 2, you can go there too, right? We had parents and school teachers and principals, right? We had chefs, vegan chefs on there. We had doctors in season 2. Bosu was on season 1. Hey. JC was part of season 3 for athletes. Stephanie right here was also part of season 3. And Jenny is here for the season finale, season 3. So again, thank you all. Feel free, as I always say this, to give me your money, just because. No, but feel free if you all have any programs, any upcoming events, anything that you would like me to promote, to share, it would be my pleasure to do that. So don't hesitate to be like, hey, Blaze, I'm having this promotion right now, or I have this event coming up. Can you post this? Can you share this? That's the least I can do. All right. Because together as a community of superheroes, yeah, that's how we make this world go around. So indeed, indeed. Any final thoughts, any favorite words, any favorite colors, any phone numbers you want to give out? I don't know. No?
Okay.
Okay. I love it all. I love it all. This was the Blaze the Lion podcast. The two words that I always end my podcast with: peace and love.